Hi, everybody. I'm an addict. My name is Ron.
Hi, Ron.
My clean date is January 2nd, 2001. I got clean in Narcotics Anonymous. I work the 12 steps, believe in the 12 traditions and the 12 concepts of Narcotics Anonymous. I have a Narcotics Anonymous sponsor who has a Narcotics Anonymous sponsor, and we work the steps and traditions of Narcotics Anonymous like our lives depended upon it, because I believe that my life depends on this. Just so happens my sponsor's here, so, you know, I need to give him some cred, you know. And my home group is Old Time Recovery Group of Northern Virginia area, Norvana. It meets on Thursdays at 7:30, and I try to be there regularly, which sometimes is challenging, but nonetheless, and that's what I learned about, you know, being a member of this fellowship, is we make commitments and we try to keep them. I'm used to being in front of crowds, and I'll get to that a little later, but I am quite nervous, to tell you the truth. And now I had to follow up Joe. I really should have been the opening act, and Joe should have been the main act, you know, but somehow I got to be the main act, and that kind of makes me nervous. So anyway, bear with me. I don't tell my story very often, but I will tell part of it now. I don't know if I was born an addict like some people, you know, like to share in meetings. I just know that I wanted stuff. I had desires from a very early age, and I made some important decisions at a very early age. When I was 14, I made a decision to be a professional musician, and I stuck with that decision, and I kept on with it, through it, despite the fact that I, you know, it didn't seem like anybody was thinking I was all that, you know, but I thought I was all that, so I kept on, and I kept on, and I kept on, and I still play now part-time, but for the beginning of my working career, I was a professional musician for 10 years. So making decisions was not the issue, okay? Making decisions was not an issue for me. I was always a fairly decisive person, and I learned that playing music, frankly. I wasn't particularly a good student, but I was good at what I was interested in. And like Joe was talking about boats, that's what I was interested in. That's what piqued my interest. So as I went through high school, I learned more about being a musician. And I came up in the late 60s, 70s. So, you know, you can imagine what being a musician was like in those days. You know, you needed to have long hair. You needed to be into some kind of drugs. And hopefully find people to give you sex, drugs, and rock and roll, right? So that was my thing. You know, I was following my quote unquote dream, and so I got into using, and through college, I didn't realize it, but it was starting to fuck me up already. You know, it was already starting to affect my life, and of course, I don't know about you guys, but for me as an addict, I had no idea. I had no idea that this was becoming a problem in my life that soon. But nonetheless, you know, I'm a college dropout. My folks put me into one of the best music schools in the country up in Boston, and I did 2 years and went on the road, you know, thinking, yeah, that's cool. That's what everybody does, right? You know, so I basically blew a lot of their money, went on to become a working musician / addict, because that's what we did, you know. And I don't want to, you know, say that all musicians are like this. It's not true. But that's what I did. So I got into this whole head to thinking that, well, this is all cool. Not only is it cool, it's my lifestyle, quote unquote. It's my identity, quote unquote, you know. I'm a musician, and I like to use drugs, and it's cool, and I'm really good at both. And I know you've heard the phrase "last man or woman standing," right? I was the last man standing. I'm always the last guy at the party when everybody else is leaving, going, "Come back." we can go get more dope, help me, you know. I was always that guy, you know, and I was also all the guy that never made it into the concert and never made it in the movie because I was too busy in the car getting high, you know. And so my life continued on in this vein for a while, and I got to the point where I couldn't travel anymore. I mean, it was just screwing me up way too much. The alcohol, the dope, man. And my cure, of course, was I'm not going to travel anymore. I'm not going to go on the road anymore. I'm just going to, you know, play in the local area, and that's going to help my using problem. And it did, because I was kind of broke for a minute. And I decided, well, I needed to get kind of a steady income, you know, because you know, the music wasn't doing it for me. So I sold pot on the side, and I got a straight job eventually. And that's where I am today. Same job I got then, which was 1983. I still work the same job, and I still play music on the side. So what happened to get me in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous? Well, you know, like all of us, a series of events came where it was just something was wrong. Something was going really wrong here. And I was seeing a shrink, and he suggested that I was an addict. Well, I was horrified. What the fuck? I'm an addict? No way! You know, I have a house, I have a car, I have a job, I got suits in the closet, I wear a tuxedo when I play gigs, man, come on. You know, give me a break here, you know. Who can do this, man? I read music, I transpose it, sight, you know, I had all these reasons why I was not an addict, you know. And then I basically spent the rest of the session arguing with them. And finally said, well, you know, okay, that's it, and, you know, we got to cut this off because I'm not taking your insurance anymore. So I was like, oh, Jesus, man. But he did mention Narcotics Anonymous. And 2 weeks later, when the end of the road came for me, I thought about Narcotics Anonymous. And I actually went online and checked out where some meetings were. And I showed up at a meeting, and I went, who in the hell is running this bullshit? You know, is anybody in charge here? Does anybody know what the hell is going on? Who are these people? You know, because, you know, like Joe said, he looked out and saw his playmates. I looked out and saw, these guys can't even afford to come and see me play. What the hell's going on here, you know? I have no fans in this room. I don't get it, man. But something, I don't know what it was, you know? A word, a phrase that was said in that first meeting triggered something. And it triggered that desire. That desire to stop using. And that's basically all I had, because I certainly didn't have willingness. I certainly didn't have honesty, you know. I didn't have trust. I had just desire. And through that desire, I said, well, you know, I don't know about these meetings, but, you know, it looks they're free. You know, there seems to be plenty of them. You know, maybe there's some nice-looking chicks that come in here, you know, and maybe, you know, that'll work out, you know. You know, because I'd read one of those dating books before, you know, the 12-step fellowships was a good way to, you know, like, meet women, you know. And I thought, well, yeah, you know, hey, what the hell? So I kept going to meetings, you know, and I met a guy who, you know, called me, which was great, because, you know, I wasn't really, you know, I'm thinking, no, I don't call people. People call me. I mean, I'm it. You were just supporting cast. Come on. So he called me and you know, and he said, hey, you going to a meeting tonight? And I said, yeah. And he goes, well, come by and pick me up. We'll go. You know, and I said, okay. So I went by and picked him up. And next thing I know, you know, I asked this guy to be my sponsor because I figured, well, hell, man, you know, he's talking to me and, you know, I'm talking to him. And I picked him up and we went to meetings a couple times. And that was my criteria for picking him as a sponsor. But the great thing about that is, you know, our higher power takes care of us. You know, we make a decision and our higher power takes care of us. And like Joe was saying, my higher power took care of me. He was the right guy for me to start off with. You know, he was kind and loving and understanding. He listened to my bullshit for, you know, I don't know how he did it, because, you know, I ranted on. I was arrogant, you know, absolutely. And, you know, just kept... But he'd say, all right, come pick me up. We went to meetings. We went to meetings in D.C. I live in Alexandria, Virginia. Went to meetings in Northern Virginia. Went to meetings in Maryland. You know, we went all over the place. And I was like, okay, this is kind of cool. You know, I started seeing who the fellowship was in Narcotics Anonymous. And so the two words that came to mind that I told my sponsor about was desire. Third tradition, the desire. You know, thank God for that tradition, because that's all I had, you know. Now, I'm a smart guy, and I'm sure everybody in this room is just as smart as I am. The whole problem with you know, being smart is we think our way out of anything, or worse, into something, you know. So you know, I could have thought my way out of this fellowship really easily. I didn't identify in. My story wasn't all that bad. As a matter of fact, you know, for years I was very embarrassed by my story, because I always felt like, God, you know, I never went to jail. I never been arrested. I never been beat up over drugs. I didn't sleep under the bridge. I never panhandled for money. I feel less than, because in our fellowship, when those stories come around and people respond to them, I felt like, well, God, no one's going to respond to my, you know, little lame-ass story, you know. None of that stuff happened to me, you know. And so, you know, I started sharing meetings about today, because I didn't want to talk about yesterday. I shared about today. And I learned how to share about what was going on with me today. And I didn't realize that that's actually good. You know, for me, it was just a way to dance around the fact that I didn't have a very interesting, exciting story. And yet still run my mouth, because I certainly like that. And so that's the other part of the desire. Once I learned a little bit about their traditions, I realized that really that's all I needed. In other words, I didn't have to be living under a bridge, eating out of garbage cans, you know, or any of that to be a member of this fellowship. I just needed to have a desire. And that suddenly made it okay. And over time, now it didn't happen overnight, but over time that made my story okay, at least with me. And so... So I can say today that when the need arises, I don't mind telling my story, and I don't feel the least bit less than, even though, you know, I kind of wish I at least got arrested once, you know, just once, you know, just so I could say, yeah, no, I've been arrested, and, you know, yeah, and he whacked me upside the head with his billy club, and, you know, good stuff, you know. See, you cats would say, yeah, you know, he was a badass. But you know, I'm no badass, man. I'm a saxophone player, you know. That's what I am, you know. That's about as bad as it gets, guys, you know. So the two big words, you know, the desire through the third tradition, and then the decision. Because it took me, I don't know about you, it took me a while to make that decision. And as I recall it now, you know, I'm a little older, so my memory is not great, and I never was, actually. But as I recall, it's about 18 months or so when I finally said, you know what, maybe I am an addict. Maybe I need to, you know, maybe this is where I belong. Maybe I actually ought to get serious about this and start, like, actually doing something other than going to meetings. Because it was always made clear to me from the very beginning that this fellowship is not just about, at least trying to get clean and serene, is not just about going to meetings. I had to do other stuff. And initially, I didn't like that idea at all. Because what I wanted to do was do what I wanted to do when I wanted to do it. You know, I wasn't interested in doing what someone else wanted to do. And, you know, my angle of, like many people, was to figure out how to make you do what I wanted to do and think that it was your idea. So you would be happy doing what I wanted to do. You know, because after all, I did want you to be happy. I just didn't want to do what you wanted to do. So, you know, that was a hard thing to do for a long time. And I was wondering why it wasn't working so well. Especially with, like, my sponsor and the guys who were, you know, he was hanging around with, who would just kind of, like, laugh at me, you know. And I always thought, whoa, how dare you laugh at me, man? I'm bad. I'm a bad MF. You can't, what the, you know. So it was difficult initially to, you know, be the junior partner, be the young guy, the new guy, you know, and I didn't like that at all. So I said, man, I got to get some clean time here, man, you know, because, man, I don't want to be the guy running around here with 18 months anymore, you know. I need to have some serious clean time, so I'm going to stay clean. So initially, my whole reason for staying clean was spite. Okay, and you know, and arrogance. You know, these are not spiritual principles, by the way, if you're new, okay? So the other thing I want to talk about is the decision that we make in the third step, for me, is a daily decision. You know, and the reason for that is because I am an addict to the core. And what my mind wants to do is come up with some reason why I don't need to do that today. You know, and often right now, I've got 14 years clean, people. That's what I think. I've got 14 years clean. Why do I have to be nice? Why do I have to reach out to the newcomer? You know, why do I have to do any of this crap, you know? I just go to the meetings I like, hang out with my friends, many of whom are here, by the way, and, you know, and then go out to eat, maybe, or just, you know, sit out and smoke in the parking lot. You know, hey, yeah, you know, I don't want to talk to no newcomer. You know, I can't understand what they're talking about. They want to whine. They want to talk about, you know, all this other crap that I'm really not interested in because it doesn't help me, you know? And I have to fight that. I have to fight that even today. Even after working all 12 steps, you know, obviously I need to grow more because the whole part about spiritual growth is it's not dictated necessarily by me. You know? My higher power has control over me because I turn my will and my life over to Him. When I pray, I turn my will and my life over to my higher power. I ask for knowledge of His will for me today. Not yesterday, not next week, not next month, today. And that's where I try to keep it today, is in the present moment. Because if you're anything like me, once I start getting in the future, oh my God. You know, my sponsor likes to call me a disaster. What's the word? He has some little label, disaster man or something. I can't remember what it is. Oh, impending doom. Impending doom. So, and that's where I go when I think about the future. And I don't like to think about the past because, frankly, you know, I don't remember a lot of it anymore. You know, I was a heavy pot smoker all my life. So, you know, that part of my memory is just kind of like... And so, basically, it's I've got the present, or I can go into the impending doom of the future, you know, where all things eventually turn bad for me. Because I really don't care what happened to you. And so, you know, this is part of my disease as it is now. And that's the thing I need to keep real. Is my disease has not gone away. My disease lays in wait for every little nook and cranny it can get into in my psyche and start working on making that thing better, bigger. It's like water. You know, water will go through anything, rock, cement, it'll eventually crack it wide open. And so the disease is cunning, baffling, and it continues to live in me and it's my decision not to let it grow any more quicker, or hopefully not at all, than it is. So The two words is desire and decision. And of course, lastly, I'll say in wrapping up, my sponsor says willingness, the third word. And that's where I am today, is I remain willing and I remain open-minded. Thank you for letting me share.
I'm Attic and David.
Let's thank Joe and Rob.